I'll tell you from standing on the sidelines of football for the last 10 years that there are some hits that I see and I'm cringing and I'm just waiting for the play to kind of clear and move on and expecting somebody not to get up off the field, and they pop right up and they seem to be fine. And there's other times when it's the lightest hit and I don't expect anything to happen, and the athlete comes up and they might be staggering around or having difficulty, or somebody might say, "Hey, you want to check on Johnny? He's not acting right." And we're looking for things like, are they walking? Do they look like their coordination's off? Are they unconscious, or are they getting up? Do they look sick? Are they throwing up? Those kind of telltale signs that we could tell right away. But a lot of times you don't see that. And I think that's the other thing for people to remember too, is that not every injury to the head results in a concussion. It kind of depends on what the force was on the brain.
Thinking to you, in your experience, then, when you have somebody and there's a natural break in play, and it looks like somebody had just taken a hit of some sort, and you're not quite sure, just briefly, I mean, what are you doing when you look that person? Then you're looking at this person, you're talking to this person. What are you doing to evaluate that situation in the moment?
The first thing we do if we suspect that a concussion might have occurred is we pull them aside and we ask them the symptom questions, headache, dizziness, pressure in the head. The second thing most people do, not everyone, but almost the vast majority of sports now use something called the Sports Concussion Assessment Tool, or the SCAT. And this basically has the symptom checklist on it. It also has 5 questions about orientation, kind of where are we playing today, who are we playing, who scored last, who do we play last week, what was the score, kind of thing. And then we do a brief neurologic exam, kind of looking at the what are called the cranial nerves in the head, balance testing, coordination, things like that. The most important thing is that we don't want to let an athlete who in whom we suspect a concussion continue to play.
Who makes that call? Is it the medical person, the sideline decision? Is it the coach? Is it sort of a joint effort to figure it out? Whose decision is that ultimately?
In schools where there's an athletic trainer or physician, so almost every college, of course, pro teams, semi-pro teams, it's going to be a joint decision between the athletic trainer and the physician. The coach is not involved in that decision. This is purely a health decision.
We hear a lot about the pressure, and the young woman who's filed the suit here against the university talked about feeling that pressure, not wanting to let the team down, not wanting to let the coach down, feeling that they needed to do this and needed to play. I mean, as you're on the sidelines, or that pressure, do you sense that pressure as a medical professional? I mean, do you feel like, boy, if I take this top player out of here, I'm going to get booed out of the stadium or something. Does that ever come into play at these high levels like this?
I think the thought crosses your mind, and I think the thought certainly crosses the athlete's mind, but that, I'm sure there are cases, of course, and in fact, there's been studies looking at why athletes don't tell us about their symptoms, and a lot of times they report things that they didn't want to get pulled out. They didn't want to let their teammates down. They didn't know it was a significant enough injury. They didn't really know what a concussion was. At the end of the day, we have to do what's right for the athlete. And to be honest, I don't think twice. If I think somebody has a concussion, I'm pulling them out and I'm not letting them go back in. I mean, the risk is just too great.
What other rules are in place, or are there any, between does a university have specific rules? Does the NCAA have specific rules? Does the state have rules? I don't know. Are there best practices across the board?
Yes, yes, and yes, yes. So the NCAA has their own concussion policy and rules for what a concussion is. If anyone presents with these symptoms, they need to be evaluated. They cannot return until they're symptom-free, and they've done what we call a return-to-play protocol, which is a graduated return and exercise over about 5 days.
And then you talked a little about the short-term symptoms, what you look for on the field. One of the things that the young woman from the university here, the former soccer player from the university here, talked about was, down the road, experiencing painful headaches, having sensitivity to light, wasn't able to leave her apartment. She had concussions in the past. What do we know now about what goes on and in some of those longer-term problems that sometimes arise around concussions?
There's a lot of studies out there and a lot of misinformation, but it's very difficult. Most concussions resolve in about 7 to 10 days. So it's very rare, actually, probably 5% or less of concussions go on longer than a month. when your symptoms roughly go on for longer than a month, that depending on the definition used, but it kind of tips people over to a state that we call post-concussive syndrome. And sometimes people don't have this. I do think the term has been thrown around more than it probably should. But there are a very small handful of people that may go on to actually have something that we call post-concussive syndrome, where they have persistence of symptoms for a while. There are some really long-term effects that we're worried about from chronic brain trauma. So there's something called chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE. So that's one thing. Just even chronic dementia and memory loss and depression are things that we're concerned about. But a lot more research needs to be done into these things.
The brain is a tricky thing. I mean, you know, I think of all the things we've learned since, you know, fMRIs and different sort of technologies have come available, there's still so much that we don't understand. I mean, what do you think is next? What's kind of the next frontier for understanding concussions and how to prevent them?
There's a lot on the horizon. There are many studies now looking at special types of MRI called functional MRI, or something called diffusion tensor imaging. People are investigating also genetic markers and kind of blood markers that might be elevated in an acute concussion. So new imaging, maybe some blood tests. There's also newer tests that are being validated now. One is called the King-Devick test, and it's looking at rate of reading numbers across a page, and kind of if you have a baseline, you can kind of tell if someone's thought processes are slower because they might read the numbers slower and make more mistakes. There's brain mapping, kind of like an EEG, almost cap that you can put on the head that can measure your brain waves, and we see generalized slowing in head injuries like concussion. So there's a lot that's actually out there in terms of better diagnosis of concussion, but in terms of prevention actually as well too. I mean, we know that in sports that rely on helmets, that by getting the helmet better, we can reduce the risk of concussion. The problem is that we don't eliminate the risk of concussion. And so people, to put all their eggs in that basket of the helmet, are really, it's fairly short-sighted, because just buying a $500 helmet does not necessarily mean that your kid won't get a concussion playing football, you know? Yeah. So I think the bottom line is we need to focus more on making the games safer, the sport safer. Rule changes, like even just the 5-yard kickoff return change that the NFL and then the NCAA went through a couple years ago, you know, significantly decreased the rate of concussion in kickoff returners. So, you know, making small rule changes, getting kids to play safer. You know, one of the big things in football, for example, has been teaching rugby tackles, because when they tackle in rugby, they try to get their head out of the way and wrap around and bring the opposing player down, as opposed to a football hit where they try to just hit each other straight on as hard as possible to flatten the other guy. So there's a lot of things that I think can change. I think in the end we're going to be making sports safer, kids and athletes smarter, so that they can pay attention to these things. But on the flip side, kids are getting bigger, faster, and stronger. Athletes are getting bigger, faster, and stronger all the time. And, you know, more force, more weight, more speed means more momentum, which means harder hits. And so it's tricky. You know, the problem, I think, for high schools especially, and maybe even some colleges, is what's going to happen in the liability range. If the costs become prohibitive from an insurance standpoint to insure a school that has a contact collision sport like football, then football programs schools may start to cut them, right?
Yeah,
because of liability. And I think that is maybe where the issue might come in. So. Yeah, brain is the most amazing organ, but unfortunately it's very fragile. That's why Mother Nature put it in this hard box called the skull. But even, you know, knocking your skull and shaking your brain, basically a concussion is a brain injury. And so they do need to be taken seriously. Luckily, we're pretty resilient, and we tend to be able to bounce back and recover from these things in the vast majority of cases. But it doesn't mean that, number one, repetitive injuries to the brain are a good thing. We're actually very concerned that they may be, that especially that repetitive nature of hits to the head is probably the worst thing, even more so than maybe a couple bad concussions here or there. So, you know, I think these are all issues that are going to have to be teased out with more research. And but for now, I think as long as kids can play safe, not lead with the head, know what a concussion is, know how to recognize the symptoms, advocate for themselves and pull themselves off if they're having those symptoms, I think, you know, that's the best we can do for now.